Dear God, we've heard your word read. Help us to apply your word to our own lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That is the question, as Hamlet might have said. What must I do to inherit eternal life is the question we all must ask of ourselves. And it was the question asked by two young Oxford graduates, William MacCaskill and Toby Ord. They were distinguished students. They could look forward to a life of plenty. And so they asked themselves, what must I do? As a result, they came up with an answer. They committed themselves to giving away most of their future earnings to charity, anything above £20,000 a year they would give away. They then set themselves the task of figuring out how to make the best use of the money they'd pledged. They set up a charity called Giving What You Can, and this was to encourage others to hand over at least 10% of their future incomes for good causes. They didn't stop there. The charity also gives advice on how to get the most out of the money, including choice, not only choice of causes, but also choice of career. Since it was founded in 2009, the charity has received more than £300 million in pledges. The suggestion was, amongst other things, that graduates would do better by becoming philanthropic bankers than by working for such organisations as Oxfam, because they would earn more and have more to give away. And they came up with a whole lot of other conclusions. I'll mention one or two of them. William MacCaskill has now written a book, and in this book he attempts to compare and evaluate different sorts of outcomes, life quality, life expectancy, in order to decide where to put the cash. Needless to say, he comes up with some controversial conclusions. I've already suggested that he thinks it's better to become a philanthropic banker than to work for Oxfam. He also thinks it is better, for example, to be a heating repairman than a childcare worker, again, because you'd have a bigger income as a heating repairman. Wait for it. It is better not to buy fair trade coffee, since fair trade standards are hard to meet, and most fair trade comes from Costa Rica and Mexico rather than, for example, Ethiopia, where the farmers are poorer and they would benefit more. I could go on forever with some of these examples. It is better to deworm Kenyan school children rather than to increase the number of textbooks or teachers. Well, as I said, MacCaskill's conclusions are controversial. But let's not knock him. He is giving away thousands of pounds to good causes. He is encouraging other people to do the same. William MacCaskill is the 21st century version of the rich young ruler who knelt before Christ and asked, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And let's face it, in the 21st century, we in the West are all rich young rulers in comparison with the developing world, so we should perhaps all be asking the same question. Jesus challenges the young man. Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. Why are you asking me? What authority do you think I have to tell you what to do? And then Jesus says, well, you know the commandments. And he lists them, or rather he lists some of them. He leaves some out, and I'll come back to the ones he leaves out in a minute. The young man responds earnestly, Master, I have kept these all my life. And Jesus looks at him, and he's filled with love. Let's just see what he says exactly. Jesus looked steadily at him, and he was filled with love for him. And then he says, you need to do one thing more. Go and sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But his face fell at these words, and he went away sad, for he was a man of great wealth. The man leaves. He's not able, or at least at this moment in time, he's not able to let go of his wealth. And then Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded by these words. But Jesus insisted, my children, he said to them, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for someone rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were more astonished than ever, saying to one another, in that case, who can be saved? For the disciples and for us, these are sobering words. Jesus makes it clear that riches are an enormous barrier to a relationship with God. The disciples are astonished. The Jews, like most of us, regarded riches as a blessing, not as a curse. Fortunately for them and for us, there is a glimmer of hope. Jesus gazed at them and he said, by human resources, this is impossible, but not for God. Because for God, everything is possible. Our let-out clause. But Peter's rather exasperated. He says, look here. Peter took this up and he said, look, we've left everything and followed you. And then Jesus says, in truth, I tell you, there's no one who's left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or land for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times as much houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, and persecutions too, now in this present time and in the world to come. Many who are first will be last, and the last first. Basically, Jesus is saying, put me first. Let's go back to those Ten Commandments for a moment. The ones Jesus actually quoted were the ones which refer to human relationships, our relationships with one another. Do not steal, do not lie, do not kill, and so forth. The ones he didn't quote are the ones that refer to our relationship with God. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God but me. And so on. God is the be-all and end-all of our existence, the focus of our lives. Or should be. The rich young ruler and William McGaskill both led blameless lives. They were or are model citizens, and both are loved by Jesus. They do huge amounts of good, more than I will ever do. They nudge all our consciences. They do huge amounts of good, except for one thing. Their question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? They want to remain in control. They want to make the decisions. Jesus wants us to surrender control to him. Not what must I do, more what must I be. Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want of me? His answer is simple. Follow me. And his promise, the rewards will be great. Let's pray. Dear God, give us wisdom and humility to follow you, to decide what to do with our possessions, to look to you for control of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.